Well, guys, we are in the book of John, and it's going to take us a while to get through the book of John, but I think it's important. Last week, we talked about, as John opens the book, he talks about Jesus Christ. He talks about Jesus being everything, the source of everything, the beginning of everything, that Jesus is God. Jesus is our Redeemer, and Jesus is our Mediator. Did you get that? Jesus is our God. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is our Mediator. And today we're going to look at another John from the book of John. So we're going to get confused because there's a lot of Johns going on today. We're going to be looking at John the Baptist. So if you would go ahead and open up your Bibles again, chapter 1. And I'm going to be in verses 19 through 34. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me ask you this. Who are you? Who are you? Has anybody ever asked you that? I remember one time Leo and I were at Melvin's house, and Melvin looked at Leo. We were on the back porch, and I thought this was so cool because Melvin, if you've never been over to his house, he's got like this koi pond, and he's got a catfish pond or something growing down there. I don't know, and he's got chickens. I mean, he's like, he's got everything. He's like old McDonald. He had a farm, and everybody's sitting around going E-I-E-I-O. But I remember we were just sitting there in the back porch, and he looked at Leo, and he goes, who are you? You know, or basically, you know, who are you? Where? And when we ask a question like that, oftentimes we're wondering, what's your job? What's your career? Who are you? Who are you to tell me that? Who are you to make these bold predictions? Who are you? And it's sometimes we intimately connect that with what we do. Another time, sometimes when we say, who are you, we're talking about your heritage. Who are you? Where did you come from? What is your background? The first 18 verses of John's gospel, he describes Jesus as this eternal word that became flesh and made his dwelling upon us. The word dwelling meant tabernacle. It meant tent. It meant he came to be with us, and we have seen his glory and the fullness, and we have received grace upon grace. And John the Apostle now tells us about another John. He's going to tell us who John is. Going back to verse 6 through 8, he says this, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And that's in John chapter 1, verses 6 and 8. We notice in those verses there that John is a witness who comes to testify to the light that came into the world. He came to testify to us about Jesus. And in our study, in this particular lesson, we're going to notice two different sections. We're going to see John testify about himself. This is who I am. Because they're going to ask him, who are you? Who are you? And John is going to testify about himself. And then in the second section, John is going to testify about Jesus Christ, who he is. So let's look at John. His activities, as he, if you've read Matthew, Mark, or Luke, John is this long-haired, wild-haired, bearded guy that wears a camel coat, eats locusts and honey, lives out in the wilderness. I mean, he's just out there preaching away, baptizing people in the water. And he's come to the attention of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so what he does is they are waiting. There's the Quorum people who are saying like, well, the Messiah is going to come. The Messiah is going to come. We haven't heard from him in over 400 years, and the Messiah is going to come. And so they're looking for this Messiah. They're waiting for someone to remove the yoke of Rome from them. And so they're saying like, okay, we hear this guy out in the wilderness. Maybe he's the Messiah. Maybe he's come. And so the Jewish leaders, doing what their job is, they're going to go out there and find out who is this guy that's out here that's leading all these people out here and baptizing these people. And so that they can go back and report to the Sanhedrin, which is the high council. So do y'all got that so far? Basically, they're going out. These Jewish leaders are going out to find out who John is so they can report back and say, okay, this is who John is. This is what he's doing. You know, this is the report. Either he's a safe person or he needs to be taken care of. You know, we need to find out. And so in a series of responses, in the first couple questions, John denies three things. First, he denies that he's the Christ. He denies that he's Elijah. And he denies being the prophet. So let's look at these. And we're going to start in verse 19. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, what then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." He says, "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? Because we need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" So let's break down those three things first off. John says, "I'm not the Christ." Again, this is the testimony of John who the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny. Right away, he says, "Look, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the chosen one. I'm not the one who's supposed to come and redeem Israel. That's not me." And he wants to emphasize this fact. And John, the apostle who wrote this, he's saying, like, he confessed and did it quickly because he wanted people to know and not pretend that he's the Christ, because there were a lot of false prophets during that day that were leading people astray. A couple things that we see in there that he denies that he is Christ. If we look at some of the false preachers today, some of the false prophets, if we see some of the people that led people down certain paths and people just followed them, right? These were people that acted like they were great. Do you see that? They acted like they were important, like I'm in charge, like these people are going to follow me, they're going to listen to me because of who I am. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. Listen to me. And yet John, here, hundreds of people are coming to him, and he's saying, "No, that's not me. Don't look to me to be your redeemer. Don't look to me to be your Savior. I'm not the Christ." In other words, instead of being great, John is saying, "I'm nothing. I'm nothing." He says, they asked him in verse 21, they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." Now, we know in Malachi, they said, Elijah will come to prepare the way to introduce the Christ. And so these Jews are taking everything face value and everything word for word and saying, okay, Elijah, the real Elijah is going to come. The real Elijah is going to stand there in body, and he's going to introduce the coming Messiah. And they said, "Well, are you Elijah?" He's going, "No, I'm not Elijah." "What? I don't even believe in reincarnation. What are you talking about? I'm not Elijah. I'm John. I've been John. I grew up John. That's who I am." And the Old Testament, again, in Malachi, he says that. Matthew, he says this. Jesus says this in Matthew 17. "I tell you that Elijah has already come." Now, he's pointing to John the Baptist. He's saying, "And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. So how does this, you know, Jesus is saying Elijah's come. It was John, but they didn't know it. So he says he is Elijah. John says, "I'm not Elijah." What does he mean by that? It's the spirit of Elijah. A spirit of Elijah. He says this in Luke, "And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." In other words, the spirit of Elijah. And I'll tell you something, we need the spirit of Elijah in our churches today. People that are not afraid, that are bold, and they get up and they say, "Look, I am not the answer, but I know the answer. And let me point you to the answer." So then they ask him in the second part of verse 21 in John, he says, "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And as these questions keep coming, John the Baptist just keeps denying him. "I'm not Elijah. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the prophet." You know? In Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 18, Moses says that the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, for your brothers. It is for him you shall listen. And Moses is basically talking about Jesus, because in the book of Acts, he later confirms that this prophet, this person that is going to be raised up, and not raised up to be, you know, like, "Hey, I'm great," but to be raised up to die for us on a cross, he's saying that is Jesus. But this delegation can't go home empty-handed. Actually, they'd been tasked by the leaders to go out and find out who he is. So, in verse 22 and 23, so they said to them, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. In other words, man, don't send us home empty-handed. We can't go back and say, well, he said he's not the Messiah. He says he's not the prophet. He says he's not Elijah. Well, who is he? I don't know. He didn't say. You know, you got to help us out here. What do you say about yourself? So John says this, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah had said. John is the herald of the coming king. He is not the light. He is witness to the light. And this reference comes from Isaiah chapter 40, which says this, a voice in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I almost wanted to sing that from the Messiah, Handel's Messiah. That's the tenor solo in the tenor thing. I like that. But John answers, humble. I'll tell you who I am. I'm just a voice in the wilderness crying out to you. That's all I'm doing. I'm not the prophet. I'm not the Messiah. I am simply a voice. And so that's John's testimony about himself. But then they want to know, well, who is Christ? So John quickly turns his attention and the attention of all of the members of this delegation to a greater subject. Who is Christ? Verse 24. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. And they asked him, then why are you baptizing? If you're neither Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet. And John answers, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. While answering the question, John explains three ways that, look, I'm not Christ. And these are three things, ways that Christ is much, much greater than me. First, I baptize with water. I baptize with water, but Christ is going to come and baptize with spirit and with fire. In Matthew 3:11, it says, he will come and baptize with spirit and with fire. In other words, someone is coming who is great, and he's the one you need to be baptized by. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The second thing that John says that Christ is greater, he goes, I'm not even worthy enough to untie his sandal. In Mid-Eastern culture, if you know, you don't sit at a table, you sit like kind of around pillows and stuff and recline and stuff, but you never show the bottom of your feet to anybody. You never show the bottom of your shoes to anybody. If you do, it's highly offensive. I remember in the Middle East when they tore down the huge statue of Saddam Hussein. Do you remember what they did? They took their sandals and started beating on the statue. Why? Because they are saying basically the worst thing you could do, the lowest you could be, is the bottom of my shoe. And John is saying, I'm not even worthy. I'll show you how great I am out here with all these hundreds of followers. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. The task of the lowest slave was given to that, but so much greater is Christ that John is not even fit to do the lowliest task for Jesus. And then he says this, he who came after me ranks before me. John 29, verses 29 and 30. The next day he saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. We see in this statement, we saw this statement earlier in the first part of John when the Apostle John is writing about Jesus, he's saying he was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that goes back to Genesis 1:1 all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible. Jesus was there the whole time. And so John's saying, look, he's greater than me because he was there before me. Remember what Jesus said when they said, well, you know, are asking God, I am, you know. And when Jesus says, before Abraham, I am. In other words, I was there before Abraham. I was there before Moses. I was there before all of these people that you worship. I was there. And John is trying to get them to see that, you know what? John, my baptism ministry here is about someone greater than myself. Jesus is God. He's always existed. And being God, he's perfectly holy. And that's something that John can't claim. That's something that we could ever measure up to. And Christ ranks before John. So then we see Jesus is the Lamb of God. What do we mean by that? Verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, back in the Old Testament days, we had to have a sacrifice. And they would take a perfect lamb, and they would sacrifice that lamb, and we would have this temporary forgiveness of our sins. And the problem is, it just never stayed. It just kept going and kept going. And John is saying, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In other words, his sacrifice is going to be once and for all for our sin. The lamb was a sacrifice, but it's insufficient to take away the sin. God still needed, the people of God still needed a Messiah. We still needed a lamb that would be led to slaughter. In 1 Peter, he writes this, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that lamb without blemish or spot." In other words, you can do all of the things you want. You can give all the tithe you want. You can do all of these things, and it's not going to be enough. It's only through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Just that song that I grew up singing all the time, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And then in verse 32 and 33, and I know I'm shooting through this, but I got to get to our congregational meeting afterwards, and it's not going to be long, and so I need you to stay. John 1, 32, 34. John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him, and I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God." And we know they were cousins. John and Jesus were cousins. We know the story of Elizabeth when Mary goes and sees Elizabeth, and Mary is pregnant with Jesus, and Elizabeth's pregnant with John. All of a sudden, when they get together, John starts jumping because he recognizes Jesus in the womb. So those of you that say, "Oh, life doesn't begin until after birth," go back and read your scripture. So what does he mean? I didn't know who he was. Well, they grew up as cousins, you know? And so God says, "I'm going to reveal him by revelation. You're going to know that this is the Christ because the Spirit of God is going to come on him, and it's going to stay on him." It's not going to be like the times of the Old Testament people like David, who says, "Take not your Spirit from me, God," where the Spirit of God comes upon you and then the Spirit of God leaves. No, 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 no. The Spirit of God is going to come on him, and it's going to stay on him, and you're going to know who he is. When John saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and remain on Jesus, he knew that he knew that he knew that Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. So who is John? That was the first question they asked. The second question is, well, who is Jesus? Who is Christ? And the question I want to ask you today, who are you? Who are you? That's the first question I ask you today. We know John is the voice of the wilderness and Jesus is the Lamb of God. But then we come to the question, who are you? What do you say about yourself? It's okay to answer with your profession. I'll tell you who I am. I'm the pastor of Three Point Bible Church. I'm the person that does this. I'm the person that does this. You know, you can answer that way. It's okay to answer that way. But who are you in Christ? That's more important. Do you believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Is he the real Messiah that we put all of our hope, our faith, our trust, our lives in his hand? Is that what we believe, or we just kind of, yeah, you know, it's a great story? My identity is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we talked about that last week. If God is our creator, and everything was made through Jesus and by Jesus, and nothing that was made wasn't made by him. I got that confused. But you know what I'm saying. Jesus created everything. And if he is our creator, he deserves much more than just our lip service. I am forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. So who are you? Who am I? I am a child of the King, and I am going to live that way. John the Baptist's message was the Messiah is here, and he bore witness to that. And we have heard his testimony, and we've heard that message. So what is our testimony? Have we seen? Have you seen the living God? Have you seen his works? Have you seen and know who he is? Do you trust that he has come to take away the sins of the world? And that's what I want to leave you with today. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would give us eyes to see, that you would give us the opportunity to say, Father, I am a child of the King. I once was not loved. I once didn't have mercy. I once was dead, but now, Father, I have life. Now I have a family. Now I am somebody new. You have given me a new name. And like the prodigal son, Father, I've lived my life doing the things I thought were important, and I ended up in the pigsty. And now, Father, I come to you broken and humble, and I say, Father, forgive me. And I repent, and Father, I thank you that you are so quick to forgive, so quick to embrace, and we thank you for that. And Father, I pray that our identity will always be found in Christ Jesus, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.